following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Seeking mental health support? Tune in to What Shape Are You In? The ultimate mental health show. Expert advice, inspiring stories and practical strategies. Join us every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Break barriers, challenge stigma. Remember, your mind matters.
Good afternoon and welcome to Unity FM. My name is Beresford Dawkins. So glad that you can join us on this afternoon for our weekly health and well-being program, What Shape Are You In?, where we ask you, the general public, what shape are you in? How are you navigating through the various different challenges that we have in our beautiful city of Birmingham? We're here to help, of course, as always, and we want you to join in the program with us because it's your program. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you so much for being with us. It's a five-year partnership with Unity FM 93.5. Please share. We've got a fabulous opportunity here where we, as a mental health trust, can partner with a local radio station to really challenge mental health stigma and also improve mental health literacy. It's a weekly program. It goes out in drive time. We're really pleased to have such a unique spot. And I'm really pleased to say, over the 5 years now that we've been partnering together and collaborating together, this show also gets repeated on a Saturday, 6 till 7. So if you have to, in the middle of the school run and you keep chopping in and out just to pick up the kids or whatever you do, then, try again and listen again on a Saturday, 6 till 7. What Shape Are You In? Where we talk about all things health and well-being, specifically around mental health. And if you are listening to the program and you feel that you could do with some help or some support or some guidance, that we do have a 24-hour helpline, which is 0121-262-3555. You can ring that number at any time. Should you be listening to this program and you're thinking that yourself or your loved ones or your neighbors might need some advice or some guidance, ring that number, 0121-262-3555. And of course, we want you, this is an interactive program, and more importantly, we want you to join in the conversation with us. So give us a call right in the studio, 0121-772-8892, or if you want to send us a text, send us that text on 07947-773-949. And I just wanted also just to make mention, in Spartanbrook this week, we had a real sort of serious incident happening over there in Osborne Road. You would have probably seen it making all the headlines. There's been a siege where someone was really, it turns out to be quite challenging, known to the system, and was under 24-hour siege. We believe that he's since been taken to a place of safety, whether that be custody or otherwise. But I just wondered if you live in the local area and that's been a bit of a challenge for you and you have some concerns about what you may have observed or witnessed, and you might want to talk about that. As you know, it could be a health and well-being issue. Who knows? Please give us a call, 0121-772-8892. You too can share your thoughts about the siege that happened in Spartanbrook area this week. As you know, on this program we have guests, and I'm really pleased to tell you that this week is no different. We have our Executive Director of Finance, Dave Tomlinson. Thank you for joining us, Dave. How are you?
I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah, so I see. And you gave me a bit of a fright, of course, but I'm really glad you were able to join us, and thank you for joining us. Just to tell you a little bit about Dave, I know firsthand that he's a major, major football fan. And when I say he's a major football fan, because real football really happened in the 70s and the 80s, where you have the likes of... he's a Leeds fan as well, I have to tell you that.
It's not the same, is it, Beresford? Yeah.
No, but in the 70s and the 80s, to be fair, when you're talking football in Leeds, that's a big deal. I say that as a Tottenham fan, okay? Just to let you know, right? So we're talking Martin Chivers, Alan Gilzine, Ralph Coates. Yeah? I'm sure.
Ralph Coates.
See, I knew that would make you smile. Ralph Coates, he played on the left wing.
More Bobby Charlton, Ralph Coates.
Absolutely. They went to the same barber, had the same hairstyle. So it's really good to see you. Thank you for joining us. And I also, so I've told you that he's a football fan, but also I hear he has some ferocious cats. I don't know where that came from, but I hear you've got some ferocious cats. So we're going to talk to you about that. But he's also responsible for the finance in one of the biggest mental health trusts, certainly in the region. Big, major responsibilities, some major things happening in terms of commissioning services, new partnership working with the ICB and other partners. So we're going to talk about all of those things in the short time that we have, Dave. So it's really good to have you. And let's just start really as we always start with our senior exec managers. Just a little bit about yourself, Dave, just to ease us into the conversation, just to let you know we might get some phone calls today, and if we do take some phone calls, we'll answer them together. So 0121 772 8892, if you want to speak to our executive director of finance, Dave Tomlinson, who's going to be with us for the next hour. So Dave, just a little bit about yourself in your career pathway before we go further.
Okay, well, I'm actually born from in Stafford. So I'm only born about 20, 30 miles away. I spend a lot of time in the private sector. So worked locally at GEC when I was at Stafford, went down south in about 85 and spent a number of years down south before coming back up north as I saw it at that stage. So I'd worked for, among others, Sony, Decca Records, Daily Mirror. I came back up to the north in 1988, when I worked for Bupa in Manchester. And then in 1996, I was looking to get a role as a finance director. And at that stage, the NHS was going through establishing trusts. And I was fortunate enough to get a role as a finance director in a small mental health community trust in Preston.
Yeah.
About 5-6 years, and by this stage, I was already an accountant, fully qualified accountant. I qualified as an accountant mid-80s, went down south, spent time down there, and then came to start the real work. So I was at Bupa till about 96, then got into the NHS, as I said, in Preston, mental health and community, in 1996. Spent about 5-6 years there. In 2002... that's when there was quite a lot of organisational change. So they were splitting organisations up like that one. And at that stage, they created local commissioning organisations called primary care trusts. And the trust I was in split two ways. So the community mental health services went into the primary care trust, Preston Primary Care Trust. The mental health services went into a large specialist mental health organisation called Lancashire Care. It was being set up very similar to Birmingham Solihull Mental Health Trust. And I was up there for probably 12 years in that role, as well as finance, doing things like estates, IT, and a whole range of other things. So I do much more than finance, but that's the name on the lid. In 2014, I moved outside of the trust. I did some interim and consultancy work for about 3 years. Then I joined Birmingham Solihull in 2017, I've been here ever since. And it's an organisation, as Beresford's already said, one of the largest mental health trusts in the country. I get involved in an awful lot of things outside of finance. And it's really, finance is only a base to do things. And this is about people, working with people, trying to make things easy for them to understand and easy to achieve anything. Do you want any more than that, Beresford?
I think that's great, Dave, and I think that's a real good sort of foundation for us to be kicking off, because, like you said, you know, normally when we hear about finance directors, we do think about accountants, and they're just there to make sure that the books are balanced, which is an important role. But then when we realise the kind of numbers that you're having to deal with and the real sort of vastness of your role, you're talking about two, just so people know. So we look after some 73,000 patients, Dave, as you know. We're a workforce of 4,000 and a budget of about 230 plus million. And I'm sure it's more than that. And just so that, as you said, we're trying to make things easier for people so that people understand. And that's why we come on this show to talk about, you know, the fantastic organization that we're both privileged to work for. But just tell us, you know, where do you start with, you know, you've got a £200 million budget, 400 staff in terms of workforce, plus all the assets and the estates that you have to look after as well. That is a big responsibility, Dave. Just talk to us a little bit about, you know, what that really entails in terms of, I'll go on to information governance, but let's start with that budget. You know, how do you even begin to manage that?
It certainly keeps you awake at night, Beresford, but probably just to move it on a little bit, where we are now, we've recently taken on responsibility for commissioning as well as providing. So we also arrange for services as well as provide them themselves. So if you take that into account, all the income that we're responsible for, we're actually getting on for £500 million, so £500 million. So if you like, the provider side where we deliver services is probably less than half of the overall. Okay?
Wow.
So we both commission services from others and commission services from ourselves.
And
but you're right.
We're going to talk about commissioning after, because that's a very, very new role for us. So, yeah, but yeah, we'll talk about that in detail.
Okay. I'll talk about what you asked about.
Yeah.
So our current budget for the provider side, so the people who deliver services, it's approximately £300 million now. So we provide services right across Birmingham and indeed for the West Midlands. So as well as the core local services, so that's the mental health inpatient services and the mental health community services we provide. We also provide some specialist care. So we do things like, for instance, deaf services for mental health, which is a regional service. We also provide secure services for the entirety of the West Midlands, and we work with others on that. So you've got four divisions, operating divisions within the organisation. They've all got their own budgets and their own staff. And really, it's about enabling them to actually manage the service, deliver high quality, and also manage their budgets. In some areas, they've got significant problems in terms of being able to make sure we've got the right numbers of staff. So, for instance, if you talk about inpatient services, we're significantly challenged by being able to recruit people in the right level and numbers with the right qualification to work on the services. So we are quite dependent still on temporary staff. It's a real staffing crisis in the NHS generally, but particularly for us, it's in the acute inpatient services where we struggle. It's also therefore really important that we retain the staff that we've got and do what we can to develop. So we would look for the local management teams in each of those service directorates, who are typically led by an associate director and a clinical director, doing the both parts, the business side, but also the clinical side, to make sure they deliver the overall piece in that area to their local population, the people they serve, to make sure that they deliver the highest quality, do the recruitment to get all that working through. So the building blocks for the organisation around those local services. And it's for the associate director and the clinical director leading that team to make sure they deliver. My role is about making sure that we've got clear rules of the game in there. So it's clearly understood who can decide what, who can spend money at what level and what the rules are. I work with people rather than spend the money myself. So I've joked at a previous annual general meeting. People talk about me as the money man. I'm not. I tell people where it's gone to. I spend very little of it myself. So this is really about making sure you've got sound governance on the ground with those services, knowing what they're doing, delivering to certain standards and setting those standards within a set of rules of the game. So it's like many people like me who work at the centre or in the headquarters or in non-clinical functions, we're, if you like, setting the framework and the rules and providing really strong support to those services. So, for instance, if someone wants to develop a new service or develop a new building, a base for something, they develop what's called a business case to justify investment in those areas. And people that work for me would support them in developing that business case, which says, why are we doing this? What's the benefit? How much is it going to cost? How do we pay for it? And what's the timeline around it?
Brilliant.
Again, does that give you...
Yeah, that's great. There's some stuff there that we can certainly go into. If you've just joined us, thank you for joining us on Unity FM. My name is Beresford Dawkins. We're talking to our Executive Director of Finance, Dave Tomlinson, and as you've heard, it's just a, you know, people would see him as an accountant, the money man, as he calls himself, or as other people call him. But as we can see, that his role is far, far more complex. You know, he's telling us that we've increased our budgets or our commissioning ability, I'll call it that, to up to £500 million. And again, I can't even imagine where to start with that. But from a delivery point of view, we're responsible as a trust for up to £300 million, of which there are various different services in that. So in case you missed them, inpatient, specialist, deaf service, and also secure. And that doesn't include, and we haven't even mentioned acute services yet, and all the other things that we do within that in terms of staffing. And Dave, I think I want to talk about the staffing, because I know that there's some challenges, like you rightly say, around retention and getting the right staff and holding on to them as well. And it's a difficult time for the NHS right across the board, as we know. But I also say, actually, it's a significant opportunity for us to think about how we go about recruiting the right people for the trust that we work in, which is one of the largest trusts, certainly in the Midlands anyway. And the temporary staffing and the retention issues, clearly that comes to you often, I would have thought. And how do we get over some of the challenges that we see? And how can we start to think about recruiting some of the very people that might be listening to this program? Because I always say, people are not going to come to NHS jobs often to look for work, but how do we position ourselves as an organisation to access the talent on the margins, as I always describe it?
So I think there's a whole range of things that we need to do here, Barrison, and I'm not sure we do them all as well as we should, but we know that we need to do things significantly different. We know that just remaining the same as we are now won't cut it. We know we've got a challenge. We know that people can go anywhere, not just in the NHS, but elsewhere. We know that there's a certain fixed salary, which is a good salary, but it's not as good as it used to be with the pension, etc. So we know we'd struggle to compete financially. It's about much more than that, though. It's about demonstrating some of the great things that we do and some of the great opportunities people get. When I do inductions, I tell people the only constraint when someone comes into the organisation is what they bring themselves. They can literally go anywhere, do anything, rise as far as they want to and develop. We've got to make sure we've got systematic opportunities for everyone to benefit. We've got to make sure we give people all those other added benefits of working for an organisation like this. We've also got to make sure we're touching local people in local areas in a way that is, you're right, it's not NHS jobs. How do we make sure the people on the street actually understand how to make contact? And we can all do that from a day-to-day basis when, you know, we meet local people. But it's also about trying to find a systematic way to get into those areas, to describe what it's really like and make it really easy to join us. Often there's a bureaucracy and it gets in the way. I really push hard in that area. We've got to be really clear about how we make it easy to get people in. We've also got to be able to demonstrate, why would you come to Birmingham from outside? This is actually a fantastic place. We provide some fantastic services. Often we'll talk it down and we'll say how awful it is and what we can't, haven't got. We've got some wonderful things. And I always talk about, how do we spend the 600 million rather than how we save 10 million? And I think we've got to do the same thing with staff. Tell them what's good about this place. Get people and get services to describe real opportunities. You talk to people on the ground. They really love this organisation and what they do. Often despite the organisation, this is really about people. In average terms, we get people staying on average 8-9 years, but we talk about 12% turnover. I think it's about you've got to take the right approach and you've got to talk people in an adult way about what this is like and what they can do, how they can get involved. I also think we need to widen in terms of not just the current employment models, but what can we do in terms of different hours, different flexibilities. As part of the commission we're doing, and I know we'll come back to it later, but a heavy part of that is involving the voluntary sector. And in many cases, they can attract people and deliver services in a way that we can't. And we need to work with them to try and get the right numbers of people in, of the right quality, into the overall system.
Dave, if to work. Yeah, I'm really with you with this, Dave. And yeah, you know, I've lived in Birmingham all my life. All my family lives here. Both my parents, who are no longer with us, but also my children and my grandchildren. We all live in Birmingham. Love the city. Really passionate about it. And we can't have this conversation without talking about the current situation where we can see with the largest council within Europe, which is a council that I used to work for, done 31 years there. And the challenges that Birmingham are facing now around the bankruptcy, to an outsider listening in, it sounds horrific. And it is horrific because I know it's been going on for years. But then there's us who are sitting alongside that as the NHS and the Mental Health Trust, and which includes Birmingham and Solihull. We're still championing the city because it is an amazing place to work. It is, you know, that's exactly what it is. So, Dave, again, just to get your spin, how do we juxtapose the position of actually, yeah, we're Birmingham and it's a great place to work. It's a city of great diversity. It's a sanctuary. It's all those kind of adjectives that we use. And yet there's a big elephant in the room around the bankruptcy situation.
I think we've got to be clear first, Barris, that exactly what that is. So there was things they've done in the past that haven't been resolved and they're just coming home to roost, and it's in terms of equal pay claims. The thing is, we're not clear enough yet, and I don't think they've been clear enough, and they would admit this, they're not clear enough yet as to actually what it means in terms of services on the ground and how they would deliver services alongside us. So we are heavily dependent as a mental health trust on social workers and people from the local authorities generally. What we do need to understand is exactly what it means and how do we help them alongside this. We've got to argue the toss in terms of what's important to us and the people we serve and hold them accountable. But at the same time, it's really important we work with them to understand how they redesign or how they deliver services.
Okay, brilliant, now, Dave. I'm just going to hold you there just because we've got to go to a break, and we'll certainly pick it up right at this break. See you in a short while.